Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
Hello, good morning. Happy Sunday. Thanks for tuning in to Exploring Your Creative Genius. I am Carl Nordgren. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill, a radio station I was reminded a moment ago that has won the North Carolina Radio Station of the Year 5 years in a row. Folks, you're so well served by the folks here at this radio station. I just love every single one of them. My show takes an expansive view on what it means to be creative. One way that we take that expansive view is by making sure that we have a lot of wonderful creative and entrepreneurial folks as guests. And if you listen to John Lowe when he was on with us a week or so ago, he's back here again, and he's going to share more of his thoughts about creativity, a little bit more about his experiences and his stories about being in the corporate world and being a creative person. And so John is a pioneer in selling high tech to higher education. He worked for Apple when Apple was just a little seed. He's done work helping executives become better communicators, and he's got a wonderfully robust personal creative life, and we're going to explore all of that. John, thank you so very much for being with us again. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Good to see you.
We had a lot of fun last time.
We had a lot of fun last time,
so let's do it again. So you did talk about Apple the last time we were together, but there's going to be some folks on the show that didn't hear that, so give us a little sense of your time at Apple. You joined there quite early on.
Quite early, I was a 753rd employee of the company, and I think the biggest thing that I took away from that experience was I enjoyed being in a creative environment. I enjoyed being in an environment that allowed me to come up with ideas and try them out, and they weren't afraid to fail. They weren't afraid to take risks, and that became the kind of environment I sought out for the majority of my career.
My experience is that so many managers, so many leaders overmanage, right? Overlead. And there's this wonderful, I learned this from my father, actually. I worked for him for a very brief period of time. And I noticed how he always left the directions just open-ended enough that you had to step forward into the project and make it your own. And I really liked that. That sounds like your method as well.
I do a lot of leadership coaching. And in my career, I factored out that I worked for 24 people, either directly or indirectly in my career. Of those, I consider four of them leaders. The other 20 were managers of the business. And I think that's a real difference. It's hard to be a leader because you have to understand it's not about you. You have to understand that your followers are the ones that are important and developing them, growing them. It's not just protecting your corner office with the – with the big windows and the parking space and the stock options.
Right.
It's really how well you develop your people that determines your success.
I stayed out of the corporate world because when I was a fishing guide, when I was 16 and 17 and 18 years old up in Canada, at some point during the 3 or 4 day fishing trip, this is the mid to late 60s, the corporate executives that were in my boat, one of them would stand up and turn around and look at me, and they probably had a beer or two and another one in their hand, and said, "Nordgren, you're such a lucky guy. Don't you ever go into a corporate world. Don't ever put on a tie and go into a corporate world. This is going to take the soul right from you." And so I'm delighted to hear somebody who's navigated the corporate world and still had a wonderful creative experience coming out of that, because I just shied away from it. I just didn't think it was possible.
Well, I was also not one to – always play the company line. And so I lost some jobs because of that. I wasn't willing to just do what everybody said to do.
Right.
And when I spoke my piece, some people get a little nervous with that.
Yes.
And threatened by it.
And so as we've matured, how do you speak your piece now? Is it, have you figured out a way to say it so that people hear it?
No, I still say it the way I always did. I just figured out it's better for me to be in environments that are more open to it than it is for me to try to change.
Folks are
going to
be ready to listen. Yes, yes. I like that very much. Rather than change, just go to where it'll fit right in. You fit right in. Wonderful, wonderful. So then you, after spending time with Apple, and then you went to Hewlett Packard. Talk about being – I forget the name of the company that you joined that then got purchased by Blackboard.
WebCT.
Okay. So tell us a little bit. That's another example where you were there in the
early days. It was, again, a young organization trying to find their way. And they were, like Apple was inventing a new industry, WebCT was inventing a new portion of the technology, educational technology industry, in that they were one of the pioneers of faculty members putting their classes online.
Right.
So that, again, was fun. There were no rules. Nobody had ever done it before.
Right.
So we were kind of breaking into that business and creating it as we went along.
Were the Blackboard founders educators, or were they technologists?
No, they were business people. Okay. Blackboard was our competitor.
Okay.
And we don't have time to go into that whole story, but we didn't like them at all. Mm. We didn't like the way they did business. When they bought WebCT, it made a lot of WebCTers very uncomfortable to move into that organization.
Right.
And a lot of them left pretty quickly after they went in, because it was not that free, expansive, creative culture. It was very much a corporate culture.
Got it. Got it, got it, got it. So there were business people in charge.
Right. And I didn't last that long either. I only stayed there a couple of years.
And so after your time, again, as a pioneer selling technology into higher education, retirement hasn't really been retirement. I mean, our generation has maybe come up with some new language for retirement, because we don't go into an office every day.
Well, we're sure busy.
I'm
busy as I want to be, though, Carl. Another thing I've learned about myself, I don't mind relaxing. I don't mind not having something to do.
I'm the same way.
So I'm not a workaholic. I never have been.
Right.
You give me a task and I'll finish it. I'll do it right. But I'm not one who has to get up every morning seeking out something to fill the day.
In my coaching and teaching of helping folks become more creative, that's a point that I want to make for them. As I said, if you're busy all the time, you're never going to have a chance to just sit back and
be still.
Be still and listen and explore and let all that wonderful subconscious process. So yeah, I it's easy for me to sit under a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Or as a comedy album that I heard in college, cut the soles off your shoes and sit in a tree and learn how to play the flute. Right? I mean, I'm good at that kind of relaxed activity for sure. Well, we're going to hear more from John when we come back from the break, folks. He's got such an active life going on. I know he just told us that he's taking life nice and easy, but when you start to hear about the things that he's been doing in post-retirement creative life, you're going to get real, real turned on by all these great projects he's working on. So come on back after the break.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back to the second segment of Exploring Your Creative Genius. I'm Carl Nordgren, and here in the studio with me this morning is John Lowe. He's a wonderfully creative person. He's been talking about his work as a pioneer in the early days of selling technology to higher education, working with companies like Apple, with Hewlett Packard, with Blackboard. John, let's hear a little bit more about your work outside of that corporate world. I know you've done some consulting work with an organization called Ty Boyd. I know you have a wonderfully active creative life of your own. Let's talk a little bit about Ty Boyd, and then let's spend the rest of the show talking about your creative, your creative outputs.
I met Ty early in my Apple career, took a class that he was offering. He and I became great friends. He was a world-renowned public speaker and just one of the nicest people on the planet. And he became a mentor of mine and a dear friend of mine. And over the years, he would ask me to come in and do kind of guest spots in his course that was teaching executives and business people how to present better. And I enjoyed doing that. So when I stopped working, I called their organization and said, if you guys need me, I've got more time now. And for the last 5+ years, that's what I've been doing.
And you are
rewarding.
helping executives be better presenters, better communicators.
Better communicators, doing leadership coaching, sales, some sales coaching, and doing workshops with organizations.
Does the term servant leadership show up in Ty Boyd's work? Or I'm sure the concept must.
Sure. And that's actually what our organization's about.
Okay.
And that's one of the things that Ty was about. And it's a family-run business. His family's that way. And all the people that are associated with it, we feel like we're giving to these people that come to our program, giving them ways to feel better about themselves, be more successful. And so it's all about being a servant organization.
Something else I learned in the back of a boat as a fishing guide, because again, I'm a 16-year-old kid guiding 50-year-old successful bank presidents. And so how are you going to get the authority that you need? And I learned to get that I could lead through service. Mm-hmm. If I did an outstanding job serving them, they would grant me more authority. And then if I used that authority to serve them even more, they granted me more authority. And pretty soon, by the end of the day, I would be in charge because they wanted to be served. Who doesn't want to be served?
As Molly Hunt, our CEO, says, we don't have to do this. We get to do this.
Yay, yay, yay. I saw a line. This is not quite on point, but it's so close. A boss and a new employee. The new employee walks in the door and the boss says, thanks for coming on time. It's expected, but it sure is appreciated.
Yeah.
I like that. Not just expected, but it's also appreciated. It's also appreciated. Well, I tell you, man, I'm close to being in awe of the incredible creative life that you are investing yourself in your spare time, in your time, in your time. You've done some great painting. I know you've done a whole lot of writing. Let's start with the painting, and then we're going to talk about your writing, and that should fill up the show for us.
Yeah, I started painting when my first wife got ill and started to really enjoy it because I was doing it for myself. Others saw it in my family and friends really liked it, and it turned into a little bit of a business. I don't really push it very much, but some people have liked it well enough to buy some of my work, which has been very fortunate for me.
Well, I've heard you say in other contexts that one of the reasons that you think other people might like your paintings is because you painted them for yourself.
Right.
It was all about you. Right?
And I still do.
Yeah.
And I believe, as we've talked before, when you approach a creative endeavor, if you're just doing it for yourself or because you like to do it, and don't put value boundaries on it that others may perceive it to be one way or the other, you're going to have a better time with it, and B, you're probably going to be more successful with it. So that's all the things I do are for me.
That's nice.
And if I happen to create something that other people like, that's wonderful. That's always appreciated. But.
Well, he is selling his paintings, folks, just to be real clear about that. He doesn't just give them away. He actually has gone into a gallery and had people buy his paintings. So you know we're talking about some talent here. Give us a sense of the style. I mean,
it's abstract. Okay. All of it's abstract. I'm a big picture thinker, and so I'm a big picture artist as well. I don't get into the details.
Okay.
And I work very fast. I work with multiple ways, brushes or palette knives, or sometimes I'm just throwing paint around, and I just get messy, and I play music loud when I
paint,
and I have fun with it.
Are the canvases themselves big?
I enjoy bigger working on bigger canvases, and it was funny. Real quickly, I took a class once, and there were a bunch of people in the class. There was an old lady beside me who painted portraits, and the instructor said, okay, I want you all to just take 10 minutes and paint whatever comes to mind. Just don't think about it too much. Just paint it. So I really quickly did a flower thing, a bouquet of flowers, an abstract, whatever. I'm watching this lady next to me. She's painting a nice fine line like she would paint a face, and she's doing this. And she looked over at me and she goes, oh, that's amazing. I don't know how you do that. And I said, well, why don't you just try painting outside the lines once in a while? And she goes, oh, honey, I'd have a heart attack. I couldn't do that.
I love that she called you honey.
So I don't have any lines to paint outside of. I'm all over the place.
Nice. I love that. So when we come back, folks, after this break, I know that John has also done some wonderful writing, and there was a format that he challenged himself to hit that is so intriguing to me. I'm going to start urging folks in my creativity workshops to do something like what he did. And so come on back from the break. We're going to hear more from John. Thanks very much.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back, folks. This is the final segment of Exploring Your Creative Genius. I'm Carl Nordgren. I'm here with John Lowe. He's told us about his great career as a pioneer selling high tech to higher ed. Upon his departure from the corporate world, he's talked to us about the wonderful work he's done as a painter and as a successful painter. He's sold a number of his works. He's had a gallery showing in Raleigh, for goodness sakes. But I'm really eager as a writer myself to now talk to John, the writer. He's done a couple of really interesting projects. John, tell us about your writing.
Carl, I've always loved to write, even in school. I was great on essay tests, not so great on the others fill in the blanks. But so I always loved it. And I don't remember how long ago it was, thought I'd kind of like to try poetry. So I challenged myself to write a poem a day for a year. And it would just no certain time of day, just whenever a thought came in my head that I just wrote it down. And I ended up doing it for a year and a half. Went back, kind of edited it, looked at what were
so
the best
basically
ones.
500 poems, plus or minus?
Plus or minus.
Yeah.
And pulled out about the best 90 or 100 of them and put them in a book and published it.
Yay.
And it's called Ramblings of a Common Man.
Ramblings of a Common
Man.
And
people seem to like it. And actually, I looking back on some of them, when I reread them, I thought, that's
yeah,
not bad.
Not bad.
So I since then wrote another book, and I write, and this is a hint for all you boyfriend husbands out there, I write a poem three times a year for my wife every year. I write one for her birthday. I write one for our anniversary, and I write one for Christmas. And it's the gift that she looks most forward to getting.
Nice.
And so I, after a while of doing that, I combined those into a book just for her that I published for her. And I've also written two books on presenting for what I do through Ty Boyd.
Okay.
So I love to write. I do a lot of journaling. I've always been a big journaler. And it's just something that is very relaxing for me and comes very easily to me.
And so I'm urging people to keep journals. Do you have a tip? Do you have any thought about that might make somebody more likely to pick up that practice?
Don't put any rules or requirements or anything around it. Just write whatever comes to your head.
Right.
And in whatever form it hits the paper.
I love that. I love that. And then the additional tip that I give to folks is, and also try to make some of your entries visual, right?
Mm-hmm.
It takes a certain understanding of your thoughts to write them down. It takes another understanding of your thoughts to be able to create some visualization of them, whether it's a graph, whether it's a doodle, doesn't
right.
And so now you have a different understanding of your idea, and that's a good thing.
You know, Carl, I don't know if you've talked about this on any of your other shows, and you and I have shared book recommendations. There's a book by Elizabeth Gilbert called The Big Magic. And the essence of her book, and if you've seen her TED Talk, the essence of her story about writing, but the creative experience, is that most people, either someone talked them out of being creative by telling them that they weren't a good artist or they're a good writer or whatever,
right,
or they talked themselves out of it just saying, I could never do that.
Right.
And if you just do it, if you don't put the value judgment on it, just do it, whatever it is. If it's something you think you'd enjoy and not do it for others, everybody's creative. Everybody can do it.
And it happens pretty early on. I read a story, I think it was in a Daniel Pink article. The creative director at the time for Hallmark greeting cards enjoyed going into kindergartens and making creative presentations, creative activities for the kids. He reports that, and not just kindergartens, he would work his way up the ages up into middle school. And then he tells the story that when he's in with the kindergarten kids and he says, raise your hand if you're an artist, every single child raises their hand. Hmm. If you ask fifth graders, raise your hand if you're an artist, he says that in his multiple experiences, only about 25% of the kids raise their hand. So it's happening early on.
Isn't that a shame?
It's such a shame. It's such a shame because it is who we are.
Right.
It is who we are, and so we're not expressing our full humanity unless we're also writing poems, making presentations.
And so that's when people talk to me about, they say, oh, I can't believe that you write. I can't believe that you paint. I can't believe you do this and that. I play music as well, and so there's a lot of things I like to do. And my response is, you just do it. You don't do it to sell, to make money. You don't do it to please somebody else. Just do it. If you think, sit down one day and you think, I'd like to write a story, then write it. Yeah. And if it doesn't work out or you don't finish it, it doesn't matter.
This is going to be kind of broad strokes. But my family and I had the great fortune to live in the west of Ireland for a year, right before the turn of this recent 98, 99, somewhere in there. And I came away thinking, in Ireland, they are doing what you're talking about, right? They're just doing their creative activity because they love to do it. Mm-hmm. And if they get to sing in a pub some night, great, but they just loved it. Whereas in the United States, if we commit ourselves to pursue an artistic activity, we have to become great, right, and we have to sell it, and we have to be recognized, and we have to get accolades. But man, I just love their attitude. They were just, this is who we are, and this is what we do,
yeah.
Which is what I see in you, right? Right? This is who you are, and this is what you do.
This is what I do.
This is what you do.
This is for me.
You breathe, you create. Is it? I think it's Tibet. I had a Tibetan student once. Tibet, the word for creative is human being.
Huh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's something.
I love that. Humans being.
That's great.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being
pleasure.
On the show.
It's been my pleasure.
If you missed John's first show, it's archived on the Chapelboro website, chapelboro.com website. I hope you all have a wonderful Sunday. Thanks again, John.
Thank you.
This has been Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to other episodes on chapelboro.com.